Happy Sunday.
Oh, hello from quarantine.
Hello from Quarantinesville on Sunday.
That's me, the quarantine baby.
You want to know what sucks?
Tell me immediately.
I like it when people are explaining their woes to you about being in quarantine. And it almost never revolves around actual coronavirus. They just say, I'm just so bored. You know?
They should get hobbies.
I'm just so bored. And yeah, I'm struggling out here. You know?
I'm not struggling with boredom. Like, I miss, like, actually hanging out with people and, like, going to bars and...
Oh, I enjoy the social life on the outside, and I long for that, of course, but...
Yeah, I miss the social life, but I wouldn't say I'm bored. There's so much shit I could be and am doing a lot of the
time. I've had conversations with several people inside and outside of work who... Really, this is the crux of their problem. Just so bored.
That's,
And they go, oh, you must be too, right? And I'm just thinking, like, motherfucker, am I bored? I'm doing fine.
Guys, I played 60 hours of Final Fantasy.
Yeah, I just got Final Fantasy. I'm doing fine, I assure you.
Two of the biggest JRPGs of the year just dropped. I assure you, I'm not bored.
Yeah, I gotta be honest. Things, the people who are saying this are employed. They're doing okay.
But, they seem fine.
You know, but I realize that this is a world related problem much more. You ever see these videos too on social media of people saying or filming themselves saying, oh, look at how these people are playing music outside the rooftops just to keep themselves active. I'm thinking, what
do you mean? That's not
what's that mean?
Like, I think they people that are gonna do stuff like that probably were already doing it.
Yeah, but that's neither here nor there. Welcome to the Gecko's Games Cast. Is it Gecko's Games Cast? No, Gecko Games Cast.
It's always been billed as Gecko.
I think I'm just going to keep trying to say it until I get it right one day.
I think you said Geckos, and I never corrected you because I was like, that's fair. There's two of us.
Wasn't that great. Now I just look like a big buffoon.
No, I don't think you do at all.
Thank you. Well, thanks. I'm going to keep it going then. Welcome to the Gecko's Games Cast. Across the cyber waves from me is the Rich Meister, also a part of Sword Jump, who joins me, and we talk video games. I am Eric Ortiz, your always tried and true charismatic host who does not play video games.
That's the guy.
That's me.
But you played some, I heard.
Oh, yeah. We played. I have to be surprised. I have to admit, I'm surprised that you did not show any desire to get into Valorant.
I don't lack the desire. It's just like, I'm so chugging on the JRPG train right now.
I can't blame you.
It's hard to find a stop.
I sat down. Well, multiple times throughout the week, I'll sit down and I'll say, okay, let me just play an hour of Persona or Final Fantasy. Let me just play an hour of it. And I get sucked in for at least 2 to 3.
It's hard to do just minimum 1 hour. And that was the problem. I think, like, you guys were all doing Valorant. I popped into one of our personal Discords yesterday when I got home from work.
Oh, it gets wild in there.
Yeah, no, and that's always fine, but I was running on, like, 3 hours of sleep, so eventually I went to pass out.
So I was tired.
You guys were, like, well into a game, and suddenly I was like, I gotta go, man. And I just, like, I went to lay down, and then I must have woke up, like, 2 or 3 hours later, and I was like, maybe I'll jump back in the Discord, and then I just kind of sat down and turned on the PS4 first, and just ended up getting back into Persona.
Can't be helped. When you showed me that screenshot of that Persona, I was feeling it. I was thinking, man, I want to get back into this now. I also have the Persona dynamic theme on my PlayStation, so every time it's just playing some funky beats right when I start up.
It's ready to jam and slam.
I can't help it. It's so good.
It's such a good OST, such style in fucking every, like,
oh, it oozes style. Yeah, and that, in the beginning, I mean, you could even go back a few casts ago. When I first started up, I was thinking, you know, the UI is a little jarring. It's a little rough around the edges to get used to with all this stylistic text just bursting at the seams all over the place. But now, I immediately cannot imagine myself wanting that to leave, to go with a more formatted menu. When I'm playing Final Fantasy now and everything's so clean, I kind of don't want that. I want little chat bubbles to come
on
next to Cloud.
If I talked about this on the podcast, but like years ago, like 2 or 3 years ago when... It would have been 3, yeah, when original Persona 5 launched. There was, whether it was via Kickstarter or something, some, you know, backing to your company, there was some guy trying to develop a, like, chat app that had all the aesthetics of the Persona 5 texting.
I remember you showed me this.
I don't think it ever came to fruition, but I was following
You showed
it.
Me this.
Yeah, probably. Because it's just, there's some weird style with that, with, like, the bubbles and the connecting lines, and everybody has, like, their own color.
Somebody, I've seen a few mods, though, as well from the messaging apps, especially in the Android mod market, where people were converting it to the Persona message.
Which is awesome.
It was, I have to say,
don't you wish
it looked fucking chaotic. It looked chaotic as hell. I couldn't follow that.
It's
in a game, it's totally different. I'll love it to death, but when I saw that in just standard messaging, I was thinking, God, that's so messy. It's like, it's all over the place.
But you know you'd try it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. Oh, for sure. But I had no background
to
have the desire to want it.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, what is this funky, wacky shit that people are just incorporating and downloading on their phones? But now I kind of want it. Kind of in it. But what have you been playing, though? Tell me. I know you beat Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
You're done.
I carved out Final Fantasy. I'm going to go back to it because I think the Platinum's attainable for me.
So, I've seen a lot more people striving to get the Platinum.
So I'm going to go back and do hard mode. I did what I would say are the hardest things. So I've pretty much hit the level cap with everybody, which is level 50. It's a 50 level cap.
Mm-hmm.
I've beaten the game, and I've beaten Bahamut, the last Materia Battle Intel fight. So I did all the Battle Intel. Man, that Bahamut fight is hard. For anyone
I would hope so.
Who's been playing Bahamut. It, and obviously you know, the combat is built a lot around this stagger functionality.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing with the Bahamut fight is he has no weaknesses, like no elemental weakness. And eventually, I think the timer initially is like probably like maybe a little less than 10 minutes into the fight is when he finishes it the first time. But he's counting down essentially from 5 to use Mega Flare.
Yeah.
Even at the level cap, it's basically an auto wipe. So you need to stagger him before he reaches 5, because before he reaches 1, rather, because that resets it. That's really the only way. Like, I staggered him twice, and that was when I finally had finished him off. And my strategy ended up being, I had Cloud kind of running resistance. Aerith was my dedicated healer and on the in the back, like, doing her thing. And I was playing as Tifa, and just, I had her decked out with some stuff that boosts her limit break. And I was just kind of using a lot of her abilities. Like, she has Star Shower, and she has a Focused Punch, which really bring up the stagger meter fast. So just trying to boost her limit break as much as I could, and trying to boost the stagger meter as fast as I could.
I took off the auto controls for a lot of the characters, and
how do you mean?
I realized, like, how with ability mapping and all that, I would do that manually. Like, I opted to do that manually. Like, the party members wouldn't do anything besides standard attacking unless
Oh, really?
Switch in. Yeah, and the whole point of why I'm bringing that up is that I realized how much of a mistake that was.
Yeah, I didn't even
because
think
it just made
that.
Things 10 times difficult, and I thought in the beginning when I was playing, because things were easier, of course, when it was just Barret and Cloud, it was much easier to just swap through everybody and do a few attacks at a time in the span of, say, 10 seconds and just keep swapping between everybody. But now that I'm kind of going a little bit further into the game where I have 3 party members, soon to be 4, it's so much work and maintenance.
I mean, worth noting too, like,
rough.
There's materia built around stuff like that. Like, there's
They have like auto cure.
Yeah, auto cure is a good one.
Or any of the audio abilities
to have on your healer. I believe you were telling me you're on your way to the sector, the 5 reactor.
Yeah. So I just beat the crabby looking mech on the way to Mako Reactor 5.
So when you were in, and this is just like, I think I've talked to you about this before, but I feel like it's so important. Because I now know, especially, you don't get another one until the, like, very end of the game. In Mako Reactor 5, before you're really in the reactor, when you're in, like, that catwalk area above the plate, just below the plate.
Which, yeah, I'm right there.
There is an elemental attack materia.
Oh.
Do not leave until you get it. It's the
Thank
only...
Thank you for that, because I just got to exactly where you're describing.
It is the only one until, literally, the Shinra building.
Is it really that
it's...
rare? Is that powerful?
There's only 2 in the entire game. And
is that powerful?
Well, it's a game changer for me. Like, our friend Tom was telling me, he's like, oh, I never got that. And I'm like, that sounds like so many fights would be so much longer because, like, the ability to just set an element to Cloud's base attack is a game changer in a lot of fights.
Oh, when you say it like that immediately, yeah, it becomes obvious. I was going to say, I've been doing nothing but helping Chadley just assess everything.
Oh, do
and everything, pretty much 90% of everything I assess has a weakness based on some elemental affinity. So
yeah, and the elemental one
that
is...
That totally makes sense.
It's that blue materia that existed in the original game, too, where if you do it in the connecting slots on Cloud's weapon, you put whatever element you want next to it, and that element's added to Cloud's base attack.
One thing I'm starting to really appreciate as time goes on, too, is just the weapon system and the upgrade system.
It's really good.
I immensely enjoy the idea of just never needing to discard weapons freely. Like, when you get a new weapon, it's not just a one and done. Here's the base stats. There you go. Throw it away.
Everything has
like
strengths
the Iron Sword, you can keep the entire time. You can keep raising its stats. You can keep upgrading it. And any new weapon you get is pretty much there to stay because you get a bunch of upgrade points to just build it up again.
Everything is always viable. And, like, when I tell you, I had every weapon. In the final boss fight, I used the Buster Sword.
Yeah.
Because the Buster Sword is the best all-around weapon. Like, it has the most balanced stats.
I could totally guess that, too. I was going to say, when I got the Iron Sword and it started having better stats than the Buster Sword, because I didn't know about upgrading the weapons just yet at the time, because I definitely skipped over some prompt, which was silly. I was thinking, is this really it for the Buster Sword? The iconic sword? Yep, we're done here?
And also, the main thing really is, like, you switch it up in the temporary sense to learn the other weapon's ability, and then go back to the one you're comfortable with.
You just have to do the ability farm, get it, and then leave.
And for the record, Barrett does have, I believe there's only two of them, but he does have his melee weapons. It's not called that, but it's Atomic Scissors and the Wrecking Ball.
The Atomic Scissors.
If you remember the ones where it's just like a big pair of scissors from the original game.
The Atomic Scissors.
They're called something different in this, but I just call them Atomic Scissors because that's what they'll always be to me. And they do completely change up his kit because he becomes a melee attacker. And then his triangle, which is normally, like, that big shot attack, is changed into, like, a charge attack where he charges the enemy and then slams them into the ground.
I like that. I have to say, too, I'm only 6 hours in and on the way to only Reactor 5, but I'm starting to feel like the game's slightly beginning to pick up compared to where I was in the beginning.
Well, you're getting to the, you know, the stuff you know. Like, you're getting to the slums and Aerith and all that.
Because when I was in the slums and just hanging out, doing side missions for that straight hour or two, it was boring as hell, and it was losing me because some of the side quests were just so meh, and I'm not gonna not do the side quests, like, I gotta do them.
Yeah, I did all of them, and I will say the side quests are all fetch questy stuff like that,
totally,
and the reason I was able to power through them without ever really feeling like too bored or anything is I think the combat in that game is just phenomenal.
I think that it's beneficial because it helps you learn it just by repetition.
And once you learn it, it just feels really good, and there's something to it that I just can't even explain. Like, it took me a lot of tinkering with my equipment and stats before I was able to beat Bahamut, and, like, I probably spent a whole afternoon doing that, and it was worth it to me.
Oh, for sure, because by that time, you pretty much mastered the system, and you felt pretty good about it. No, I've been getting more time with it, too. I remember, what was it, in the very beginning when you're escaping from the first reactor explosion and you're getting chased by the Shinra agents, I was getting slapped pretty hard because I was still new to the entire system and I didn't know really what to do.
Yeah.
Other than just build the stagger as best as I could, which was already really hard for me. But at this point, I think I'm getting a good handle on it. It is a fun game. It's just there are some things... The only things that are kind of irksome to me that I have a feeling they're going to come back anyway are... Whenever you go to, say, a side quest or a mission in general that they say, hey, go into this industrial area and go kill something. I say, okay, and I go do that. I'll come back, I'll report back, and I'll say, hey, I did the thing, give me the gil, give me the shit. They'll say, hey, great. Now go back in there again. And this time, just one more area above where you were, there's another thing. And you should go back and go kill that.
I think there's a lot of that in the Sector 7 slums. There's not...
No, there is.
Yeah, no, I'm saying beyond that, there's not an insane amount of that.
Oh, I would hope so. The cat mission, too, of finding the cats, that's still the bane of my existence so far. That almost made me turn off the system for a second. I was thinking, this is the worst type of side quest I've ever seen.
I don't think... You know what it was? It felt like such an afterthought to me as I was doing the other ones. that maybe, like, I guess I just, it didn't hit me that way, but I could totally understand that.
Oh, no, it was just tedious because I was failing at it. Don't get me wrong. I'm sure for others, maybe they did this in 10 seconds and they just
think, I also don't think it took me long at all, and that's probably why. Like, it just I wasn't even focused on that when I was running the other ones, and I just tripped over the solution as I was, you know, going to do other stuff.
Well, Tifa would occasionally say, "There's a cat," and I'm like, "Where's the cat?" And I'll just look for the white cat.
And I was like, "Kate Sith, where?"
Kate Sith.
Boba Fett.
But overall, I'm having a lot more fun with it as I start to progress with it. I'm glad. I'm getting a feel for the system and the upgrade paths, and yeah, the game's a joy. It's a real joy.
It's
Ryan.
A hell.
How many hours did you clock it at? Well, I heard that the average is about 40.
Yeah, to beat it, and this is with doing all the side quests and doing Bahamut. I was at about 48 hours.
Not bad. Not bad. Yeah. I would imagine, I was also thinking the other day, you know, when part two comes out, they're probably just going to have to do a save data transfer.
I think so.
And I'm very curious to see how that will be handled.
Well,
from PS4 to a PS5.
Here's what I think is going to be the easy answer, because I think this is going to be the case for PS4 to PS5. I think I will be able to cloud save that data and move it to my PS5 without issue.
Get that cloud save.
It works on two levels for this game.
Yeah,
that's actually,
I imagine you'll probably have to cloud save and then you can just restore it, but I was just thinking about, like, what a pain in the ass, like, I'm gonna have to hold this probably 2 to 3 years.
It's also something else interesting I was kind of thinking about as I beat this game, which I'd love to run by you, because I mean, hell, you know the actual ending. It's not like this is
for sure,
and I'm not gonna talk about what actually happens, but as we know, the way you think about it, the next section of Final Fantasy VII is a lot more open.
Yep.
Now, that's not entirely true, because as I pointed out to a ton of people, those old Final Fantasy games aren't really open world. They are overworld maps that make you feel like it's an open world, but at a pivot prior to getting, like, an airship or something like that, there's always never really more than, like, 4 or 5 actual places to go.
Oh, for sure. For those, a lot of those JRPGs, even Chrono Trigger, they had the same system of offering the big map to give you the sense of...
It gives you a sense of scale.
But it was very linear as to where you should go most of the time.
So, yeah, I was thinking about how that's going to work, because this game's obviously very linear. It does the hub-spoke thing with multiple small hubs. It's like, you know, where you were, Sector 7 was briefly your little hub. And you branch out and do a thing here and then come back, and branch out and do a thing here and then come back. In the next section you get to, it's going to be Sector 5, but it's going to be the same thing. You know, do this thing here, come back. Do this thing here, come back. My best guess, and this is based off thinking about how, like, 15 worked, you know, where you were kind of, you had a place to go and there was always stuff you could see along the way, but the car was like your driving force of, this is where we're going to go back to the car, and it's going to take us to the next big, you know, thing to get to. So my best guess is, as we know, you know, the next section of FF7 would be, all right, we're going to head to Calm, and the Chocobo farm is always over there. I think you'll go to the Chocobo ranch first, get chocobos, and they'll be kind of your driving force for, like, getting from place to place, like following the road along the way in a 15 sort of style.
Oh, for sure. Up until the time you meet Sid and you start to get the airships and all that.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, exactly. Or yeah. And the buggy. Eventually you get the buggy at the Golden Saucer.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's probably true. If anything, they're just trying to make the game more streamlined, and now that they're stepping into this kind of next-gen remake style, they need to do that. They need to make sure that it doesn't fall into any pitfalls of being boring or kind of monotonous. Mm. A lot of the times, too, this is me taking it with a grain of salt. Just certain times, from what I've seen so far, at least in terms of the game's total runtime, I'm getting the impression that at times they were worried that the game wasn't long enough. So they try to incorporate some areas to kind of stretch it out a bit. Like, there were just some conversations and characters that I just don't care about so far. I just don't care. Like, say the Tifa's landlord, the old woman.
Uh-huh.
I don't give a rat's ass about her, or even in any of the people in the slums. And I understand that it's a mechanism that's trying to make a part of the game that you otherwise wouldn't have explored to make it feel more alive. But there were just some areas and people that you've met so far, like even Johnny. The rat Johnny. I don't give a shit.
Oh,
like, I don't care.
There's more Johnny. Wait till you get to
work. I'm sure Johnny's going to come back.
The landlady will come back, but that's... Again, I think those people are used sparingly and in the right ways, especially later on. Johnny's in Walmart. There's a lot of stuff with Johnny in Walmart.
I really thought you were about to say Walmart. I was like, oh no.
No.
Corporate coming in again.
I'm excited for you to get to Walmart, actually, meet my boy, Sam.
I'm pretty much holding that as my one part of the game that's going to blow my socks off.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
There's a new character there who works for Don Corneo. There's some interesting stuff they try that I think, for the most part, works pretty well.
I can't wait. So far, it's feeling a little, when I saw those, the ghosty thingies, I'm forgetting their official name, though. I was like, this looks like Kingdom Hearts. Every time I see those things, I'm like, this is getting Kingdom Hearts.
The whispers.
Yeah, the whispers.
They're kind
of... Every time I even see them in the background or something, I'm just thinking, oh boy, things are going to be a little Kingdom Hearts.
I wouldn't say it's probably that far, but like, if anything, that's like the idea of Kingdom Hearts is actually loaded with Final Fantasy bullshit, and we are harder on it because Donald Duck is there.
Oh, for sure. Well, actually, I would actually say I try to argue it for more in its case because Donald Duck and Goofy are
Well,
there.
You know what I mean, they actually help. Like, we roll our eyes at it more because Donald Duck is there.
Yeah, he's just quacking in the corner when nobody's and all those heartless come up, and I'm just thinking, yeesh.
But they explain all that stuff away in a sense that makes enough sense towards the end, and I think they really went for what they're trying to... They really went for it with this remake. I
can't wait. And so far when I fought... I'm sorry, what's his... I'm drawing a blank.
Roach?
Is it Roach, yeah. When I fought him, that was pretty damn cool.
Can I...
There are certain points in the cinematics where everything just really shines, and it looks fucking awesome when you're kind of experiencing it. It's awesome.
Here's the thing, and I'm just going to address this right off the bat. Skip ahead like a minute or so if you don't want spoilers on this, because the Roach bit confuses me, because that chapter was fun. The Roach fight was fun. I thought he was an interesting addition. I don't know what they're doing with Roach, because you're never going to see him again.
That's really fucking weird. Wait, you don't see him again after
nope.
that? Wow, that's kind of odd.
Like, are
that's
they going to use him in part two?
My gut would have to say yes. Otherwise, genuinely, if they don't use him for the rest of the game, that'd be really strange.
It'd be, like, why have a named character?
He's built up pretty heavily.
He could have just been, like, a soldier then. Like, later in the game, in the Shinra building, you fight, like, Soldier Class C, and they're an unnamed, like, they're just an enemy type. Like, so why not just use, like, Soldier Class, you know, 2 or whatever?
That's kind of weird, then. That's actually kind of weird to know now. But, whatever. When he did show up, it was pretty cool.
They've got
to
have
bombastic
some...
enough to just say, hey, I'm a main character. And I was like, nice.
Nothing.
I guess not.
Nothing personnel, kid, as he runs you
off
the road.
No, for real. That's actually quite interesting, because his intro was that of a main character where you were thinking, I'm going to come back. And he would literally say in his very weird poetic senses, I'm going to come back.
And I think they must have something planned for him in...
Oh, I'm sure.
In part two.
I'm sure that we're going to see a lot more soldiers incorporated into the game, especially from the ones that were shown in Crisis
Core 2. There's a lot
I have a feeling they're going to use this as an opportunity to shoehorn more in, and I'm using shoehorn in a more positive term than it usually means.
Well, there's a lot of Crisis Core DNA in here, and also, like, I think, I don't remember it ever being used in the original game. They use the term, like, Soldier Class G, which would be, like, the Genesis guys. Like, the guys with Genesis DNA.
Well, they're coming in. Guaranteed, everyone's in here.
Hell yeah, baby.
Fuck it.
Hojo.
Everybody here.
Hojo's great. 'Cause
when they come in, it's nice.
Hojo does not try and make anyone fuck tigers this time.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Hojo. Appreciated. That's Final Fantasy, though. I'm playing more of it. I'm having a good time. I'm going to play more of it probably today. You saw what I saw. You saw what I mentioned last time, right? With the textures being ass.
Yeah.
I can't stop looking at it now. Can't stop.
They're really rough in spots, which sucks because it's such a beautiful game otherwise.
That's what I'm saying. Once you notice it a single time, you can't unsee it. I am in the Shinra cat. I'm on the Mako Reactor catwalk.
There's got to be a patch
And I have
coming.
To say, still, there are some doors and some textures. They just look like absolute ass. And I'm not a perfectionist by any standard, but you can tell that they sacrifice the graphical integrity of some of these environments just to make the character stand out more.
Yeah.
Which it pays off. You know, if I'm supposed to have one or the other, I'd rather
You've
have...
You've got to prioritize.
Cloud looking
you
nice.
You really have
yeah,
to
Yeah, I'd
prioritize.
Rather have Cloud looking nice than... the fucking door looking nice, but it's just so jarring sometimes when you have such a detailed model like Barrett talking, and you're on a train, and there's just like banners or advertisements or something that just looks really off. And you're just thinking, this is weird. It's like they're playing. It's like the Final Fantasy VII from the PlayStation environments were thrown into the really nice HD models, and I'm just thinking, what the fuck?
Oh, there's. That's a fight I'm really excited for you to get to, too. Which, again, with the hyper-realism, I always love the way this stuff contrasts with certain enemy types. where I think, like, the Shinra sends, like, some thugs to beat you up or something, and you think it's gonna be a fight with these thugs, but they're just like, yeah, get them! And then they step aside, and there's just a fucking Tonberry.
I love those.
Get them, boys! It's just... like, go get them! And they're like, oh, boy, he's well, coming!
I love when there are certain funny... Like, I got the Cactuar DLC just from getting the Deluxe.
Yeah, I have that as
and
well.
And but... that's always just a funny little break in the action for every time. Like, mm-hmm. Anytime. That just little Cactuar pops out of an epic Materia summoning. He just goes, hello. And he does 10,000 needles.
From those three extra summon Materia they give you, the Carbuncle is the one I think I use the most because it is the only non-DPS summon in the game, and it's DLC.
They give you a Chocobo, too, right? That's a third?
The Chocobo Chick, Cactuar, and Carbuncle are the three DLC summon Materia. And then the ones that are in the game are Ifrit, Shiva, Leviathan, Chocomog, and Bahamut.
Lovely. Can't wait.
Chocomog, also, by the way, is in the area you are in now. Do not leave without finding it.
Thank you. That's two things I have to get. Wow, thank you.
Yeah, no problem. There's
so beneficial.
That's like one of the big areas that I'll always remember is like, there's missable materia there, and you should try and get all of it.
Jeez, I would have been pretty salty if I missed those. Thank you, thank you. But I'm going to keep trugging my way through that. I'm glad that there's just more game, because I was thinking, really, I'm worried that by the time I finish this, it's just going to make me want to play 7.
That's
like old 7, because the game's just not going to be complete, so that just kind of sucks.
And also, like, it kind of did make me want, not that I have yet, but it did make me want to replay 7 in the sense of, like, I almost want to replay those opening 5 hours.
Yeah.
And just see how they compare.
Yeah, just to see how it's different again. I already know that they replaced some important scenes. I'm not spoiling myself too heavily.
Yeah.
But I know that they switched around some minor scenes and some not so minor scenes that were pretty impactful when I first experienced them. So I'm kind of interested. I don't know how they changed them yet, which is why I'm trying to keep things fresh and mysterious.
You'll see. And I think the stuff they change works more often than not. Like, especially a lot of the stuff in the Shinra building was like a bravo as far as change goes for me. Like, they just made stuff work.
Oh, I can't wait. But that's the JRPG corner. I did get to play Valorant.
Tell me about it.
Because I did get a key.
I watched a little bit of me. Y'all played, and I've watched some video otherwise, but tell me, inside information.
I have to say, when I'm playing that game, or rather, when everybody's playing that game, at least in our group, people get serious. It's rough.
That's why I had Mike to even go
Forza.
To sleep.
Last night, you should have been there. Our friend Mike was playing Forza. New Horizons, which looks fantastic. It looked like a fantastic game, and you can get that via Game Pass, and he was downloading it saying, oh, you know, let me, is Forza any good? And I was thinking, well, you know, it has so many installments, I'm pretty sure it's immensely popular.
That's interesting, because he texted me about Forza, and was like, is there a way I can get Forza on PC? And I'm like, yeah, and I walked him through it, and I'm like, well, you don't even know if you're gonna like it, just get Game Pass, and then I explained Game Pass to him, and I guess that's what he ended up doing.
Yeah, he was talking to me about it while he was researching it, and he was just asking, oh, do you have Game Pass? Should you get it? And I was just telling him, absolutely. Like, even if you just wanted to do it for a month to just see how it is.
Yeah, see,
yeah, for sure.
It's not expensive, especially if you're just
no,
doing
not
that
at all.
PC
and you get
version.
So many good, I mean, you get Ori and the Will of Wisps, you get Outer Worlds, you get a lot of different things that you could just have. And yeah, but he had Forza, so he tried it. First of all, the game looks beautiful,
yeah.
And it looks like it's just like so much fun. And anyways, he was playing it. But there were some other friends who were playing Valorant at the time, and they came into the channel. They were getting so mad at this game. And I understand this, because I've been there. I've looked in the mirror. I've looked into the abyss of the FPS competition scene before.
It's
and,
bad.
And I've been that guy. But I hung up my coat a while back, and they were so mad. So anyways, I've been playing Valorant with them, and sometimes I get a little pissed, but not in the same vein at all. Not in the same fashion. It's a game that I enjoy, but I cannot see myself playing it post-release for very long. We're talking, I know the game's going to be popular. You could already tell. You have hundreds of thousands of people that are trolling streams right now just to get it and just lurking. And the word of mouth that the game has generated is monumental. It's pretty fucking incredible what the team has done to even boost the popularity of it when it's not even released. But it's a fun game. It's literally Counter-Strike mixed in a little bit with Rainbow Six Siege, mixed in with a little bit of Overwatch. I have a lot of fun with it. Yeah, those are all good things. And you know what? We were even talking about it last time. You know, if a game is just outright claiming to be hybrids of other games without being anything original, is that always a bad thing? Or is it necessarily a bad thing? The answer is no, so long as it has a voice of its own.
It always takes me back to, like, back when Darksiders first launched. And I remember a lot of the criticism floating around it were like, it's just Zelda mixed with God of War. And I was like, that sounds amazing.
Like, yeah, they're like, it has puzzles, and, I mean, they're good puzzles, but yeah, and then it's also like a button masher combat with unique ability. I'm like, this all sounds really fun. I love Dark. That's exactly why I like Darksiders.
Yeah, like, all these things you're complaining about are the positive notes for me. Like, you're like, it's like Zelda, but with God of War. I'm like, it's like Zelda, but God of War!
It's so funny because people want to eat their cake and have it too, and I know people think it's have your cake and eat it too, but I've been watching a documentary on Netflix of the Unabomber, and I can tell you it's not.
There's a Unabomber documentary on Netflix?
Well, this is so interesting. Let me tell
you. Please tell me,
so
because I'm looking.
I've been watching a lot of these true crime series.
They're so
on
good.
Netflix. I mean, I'm just a sucker for true crime. I don't even care if the context is, hey, some kid crashed his kid's birthday party. Let me tell you why we arrested him for 20 years.
Yeah.
Like,
I'd watch what you just described right now. I want to watch
it. It's not even real. I gotta be honest
Let's
with you.
It.
I can film it.
Can we
Yeah,
make
we
it?
Can make it. I'll use the dark screen, too, with the voice modulator. Just say, you know, I didn't even get an invite in the mail. But this one was apparently a Discovery Channel dramatization using pretty high-profile actors, I'd say.
Sure.
So I'd recommend it. And it's just called Manhunt, the Unabomber. And it has, I'm pretty sure, this is going to show my own ignorance here, I'm pretty sure it's the same guy who plays Vision in the Marvel movies.
Paul Bettany?
Which is Paul Bettany. Yes, I'm pretty sure he plays the Unabomber. And yes, he does. He plays the Unabomber. And that alone surprised me, because I was thinking, that Vision? I was
like, is that? You got a gem in your head, boy?
But one, yeah, that's exactly like, where'd that gem boy? But there is a phrase that the Unabomber kept saying, which was apparently something that was long antiquated, which was, eat your cake and have it too, not have your cake and eat it too. And that was something that apparently led to his eventual capture. And now I can't stop
because
thinking about
it. Because
it
was so specific, the way he said it?
Yeah, because it was so long forgotten. The way we actually say it today is incorrect, but it doesn't matter.
But that's actually the correct one. That's interesting.
Yeah, well, it's been so long since that we have now converted it. It doesn't matter, but
well,
yeah.
See, now I like to imagine that it was actually, like, the way they caught him was they kept using the phrase, and he was forced to fucking correct them because it just infuriated him. Like, they're like, oh you're wrong.
Sure.
He's like, no, you're the one that's wrong!
He's like, calm down.
Be
but
calm,
yeah,
mother.
There are people who want to have it both ways, but you know what? I guarantee if they tried to make the game a little bit different, people would bitch and complain, and they'd say, you know what? This isn't good, and then we'd be back where we started. So I actually give Riot Games props for just making a game that is so fucking popular right now. But I've played a lot of matches. I've played a lot of the different operators or agents, as they call them. It's a fun game. I have a lot of fun with it. It's obviously a lot funner with people or just friends that you're playing with. I can't imagine playing this game with random people, because just like with anything, there's this the random element, the X factor, as I call it, where somebody could just
a degree of cooperation.
Oh, for sure. And there are people who don't have mics, or there are people who, after you learn some of the callouts of the game, you're going to want people to know the game, at least to some. I mean, I'm not good, you know, but at least I know when someone says, hey, can you buy me a gun? Like, I'll know what that is. That's just a base mechanic. So,
yeah.
I played a few games, though. I've gotten slapped across the face several times and just got absolutely trounced in some matches. Other matches, I've done pretty well. I think that the idea of incorporating abilities in the game, or rather, I should say, the idea that Riot specifically crafted the game to only have abilities that disorient or impact the environment of the map that you're playing on, I think it's a very clever approach. And what I mean by that is there are some people who have walls that they can put up, some little windy orb things that block line of sight, or even ones that just straight up disorient your field of vision and shake things up a bit, or, you know, I think that's pretty cool to just have something like that rather than just an insta gimp and just kill you.
Yeah, that's interesting. It just kind of factors into your ability to actually fight rather than direct DPS stuff or anything like that.
Yeah, for sure. And and it's so funny because there's this one character specifically that apparently is the talk of the town, because it just pisses everybody off.
The cat's
her
pajamas.
Name is Ray's. What?
The cat's pajamas.
Yeah, she's the cat's pajamas. But what would you say is the opposite of the cat's pajamas?
The dog's business suit.
Yeah, well, she's the fucking dog's business suit of this game, and her name is Ray's, and her ultimate ability, actually, her entire kit. We're talking about disorienting or just affecting the landscape of the maps here. She has none of that bullshit. She just has straight-up damaging abilities. And they are just proven to just one-shot you if they get you in a certain way. And her ultimate is literally just a bazooka that explodes on impact. So,
that seems so at people are very, with the rest of the game.
Very, yeah, people are very pissed off about this. Now, keep in mind, I'm not really that pissed off about it, but I could totally see why the justification is that this is kind of bullshit. Because you have all these other characters that are not like that at all. And then you have this one black sheep of the entire agent list that just straight up kills, and it actually kind of kills the game for me sometimes, because there's really no point. I can only imagine that moving forward, because Riot is very notorious from the times I played League of Legends. Riot has no idea what the fuck they're doing when they first release characters in terms of balance. Uh-huh. They really just release, pray for the best, and then adjust.
Everything's
which,
a play
yes.
test. Like, there's no play test, yeah, before which, it's in alpha or however you want to put it.
Yeah, and you know what? Newsflash, everybody fucking does that. I get that.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, totally.
But with this kind of kit specifically, what I'm thinking is that moving forward, and I'm making a large leap in logic to pretend like I know the entire game plan right now, I can only imagine that as the agent list or these lists of characters expand, there's going to be similar characters that will have kits like this. I mean, you can only have so many characters that disorient people, you know? So, I mean, for God's sakes, there's already abilities that leak into other players. Like, not everybody has a unique ability.
Yeah.
Like that windy fucking blackout move I'm talking about. Several people have similar abilities.
I feel like
abilities.
I've seen that one a million times. Every
it's
time
just
I
a dome.
Yeah.
You've seen everybody has like this dome ability, which is fine. You know, let it happen. But yeah, I can totally see that moving forward, there's going to be similar kits as the idea well starts to run dry, because you can only have so many ideas. And I feel like that's just going to get boring. But instead of making that fucking leap in logic and pretending like I know everything about their business, I play it for what it is. It's a lot of fun. I could see why it's fun. I'm actually curious to see post-launch how it's supported. I will say that the store that they have for cosmetics is fucking absurd. It's absurd. There are certain design packs or whatever that are apparently like $40 or $35 or something.
Oh, yeah. I heard one of our friends spent about $40.
I don't even want to talk about it. Is it Vinny?
Yeah, it's Vinny.
Vinny P. I can't even talk. Vinny, if you even listen to this one day, I can't talk to you about this. Which is fine. I just want to say that's fine. Support the devs. But this is a fucking closed beta. Like, walk away. Apparently, they're going to refund everybody. I think it was 120% back. So you get an extra 20% including what you spent.
Okay.
To just spend on more items. It's
yeah,
just in-game
yeah.
currency.
It's in-game currency. So at the end, it's like, it's just incentive for them to spend up front now.
Yeah, but it was so funny because I had a moment of understanding. It was literally the equivalent of me saying, what business be? Because I was telling them, yeah, the design of the game's cool, but the guns just look so fucking bland. They all look the same. And someone, and I think Mike or somebody was like, that's literally why they sell you skins. And I just had a moment, like a revelation going, what is business?
Yeah,
I was like, what is economics?
Oh my God, I finally understand it. And anyway, I got into game development.
Yeah, so I got into game development, and now I'm just making gun skins. But I like it a lot. I think now they in the beginning, I had to watch streams for like 3 days straight to get a fucking key, which is absurd.
That's exactly.
But now they give it to anybody.
Oh, will
they? They used to only give it to, you know, the popular streamers to kind of spread the wealth a bit. Now anybody that's streaming it can apparently give you keys. So my cousin's friend, he even told me, you know, was streaming for a group of like three people because it was just his friends, and they just got keys. So whether or not that's true, I was even going to maybe do that for you, and then you could just hop in my stream,
yeah,
and maybe you'll get a key.
If you can do that,
I don't know.
Like, that was one of the main things keeping me out, too. I'm like, I can't be bothered. Like, I know it's not even that difficult for me to put something on in the background, but I'm like, I don't fucking feel like it.
I barely go to Twitch, except for when I used to stream
when
in
I'm
general.
Streaming.
Like, I don't go. I'm not an avid user of Twitch. So even being there in the background, I was just thinking, fuck, like, what am I doing? Like,
yeah,
what am
I
doing
I
here?
Only, I'd say I became an avid user of Twitch recently when I started doing regular streams for Sword Jump, but otherwise I was, and that's still just for me to stream, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for real. But it's a fun game. I recommend that if anybody's even interested in it. It is a tactical shooter, as I like to say. So you know, there's a lot of different things that may get you pissed off. It may not be the game for you, but I think it's kind of fun. I think it'll take off because it's Riot Games.
Oh,
Riot Games knows how to market it and market esports. They've been in the game long enough to know.
I think it will for sure take off.
Oh, for sure. But that's just my impression of it, though. I have a lot of fun with it. I think the mechanics are fun. I think the gunplay is cool. There's obviously a bunch of tweaks to be made, but that's why it's in closed beta.
Cool.
You know.
Before we get into the drop, I do have one piece of news I almost forgot about. As you know, I've been doing my weekly Animal Crossing stream. Big news from this morning's stream. One of our viewers pointed out to me, they're like, oh, hey, what's your island ranking at? Which I had, like, barely looked at, that whole island ranking system.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, the end game is supposed to be like, oh, you get a high enough ranking to get KK Slider to come. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh, yeah, I have no idea what it's at. Let's go ask Isabel. And KK Slider's coming tomorrow.
Oh, shit.
She was like,
looking,
oh,
good timing.
You did it. And I was like, oh, fantastic. You're like, yeah, he'll be here tomorrow.
Hey, I just heard about this island ranking. What's up with that? Oh, yeah, sure, it's coming tomorrow. She was never going to tell you.
Well, no, it doesn't happen unless you ask her, apparently.
She was never going to give you
by
any
by asking
of that
her, I set it into motion. Like, basically, it comes up, you go to check the rankings, and there's, like, a letter on the message boards or whatever, and it's signed KS. And Tom looks like, KS? That's KK Slider himself. And he's like, I gotta make a call. And then he comes back, he's like, KK's coming tomorrow, guys.
I always like that that's the kind of indicator of ending the game, quote-unquote. It's like, you did it. You finally have a good
Credits roll after that, apparently.
Yeah. Nintendo probably figured this game could fucking last forever. Just give him something. End it somewhere.
Yeah. No, but so that's cool. I'll have done that thing, but there's still going to be plenty more Animal Crossing.
Oh, for sure. I also, speaking of Switch titles, I actually read up more on the Cooking Mama Cooking Star scandal.
Yeah, I looked into that more, too.
Number one, that game's not coming out anytime soon.
If you managed
after it was pulled.
Yeah, if you managed to get a physical, hold on to that.
Yeah, it's literally, at this point, put on indefinite hold, and nobody knows if it's ever going to be released again, but apparently the news and info is that it really won't.
It was released without the developer's permission.
No, it was totally publisher interference, the entire thing. And
it's all on the publisher.
I encourage everybody to read up on this. I'm not going to go into the entire story because I'm going to get facts wrong, I know it, but the entire story is honestly some weird, surreal shit that you would think would probably happen for a more high-profile game. And frankly, if this happened for a lower-profile game, you wouldn't even blink twice, but it's just Cooking Mama, and that's just weird.
You know what the worst part is, too? I'm just not even that great of a Cooking Mama.
I know. I think that's really the biggest slap in the fucking face. It's not even... We're talking about a series.
And like, well, how is it? It's fine.
we're talking about a series here that many people think, oh, it's Cooking Mama. I like Cooking Mama back when I played it.
Yeah.
This game has shipped millions and millions of units. It's a hot title. And it has, for lack of a better word, a devout following, Cooking Mama. So, yeah, it's apparently not that good. And everyone's just like, what? Because the last one, I believe, was a 3DS title. And that one was apparently really good. And this one's just not good. So, if you were ever going to get it, you're fucking out of luck.
Cause... If anyone's listening, we'd like a new WarioWare.
Yeah. You know, Gold was great. I think Gold really hyped it up and brought it back into the mainstream. Let's go. Give me a new Wario Land, or give me a new WarioWare.
Give me, the title writes itself, too. Like, it's WarioWare Switched.
Done. We're swapped.
We're doing your work for you, dumb. Nintendo.
Yeah. That's the Cooking Mama story, and it was not a cryptocurrency mining software. That was debunked.
Debunked.
Turns out it's not true. Cooking Mama was not just a front for a cryptocurrency mining hacking tool that apparently just was not done at all, and it would not have passed any QA or or approval tests at all. So it's not a thing. I gotta say,
put that to bed.
Kind of disappointed that it's not.
Yeah,
because that would have been even more fucking strange.
That would have been a fascinating story.
That would have went down in game dev history as one of the strangest cases for a video game. But
there you have it, folks.
Hey, what are you gonna do?
Getting into the drop, what's coming to console
and
PC
drip,
this
drip.
Week. Let's start it off. SoundSelf, a technodelic, coming to PC and VR. It's a VR game. April 22nd.
What does that mean?
I don't know. It's a VR game.
Wait, that gives it the pass?
Deliver Us the Moon is coming to PS4 and Xbox One on April 24th. It's a survival horror game set on the moon. Actually looks pretty interesting. Ooh. Naruto Shippuden Ultimate Ninja Storm 4 Road to Boruto comes.
I'm gonna stop you right there for a moment. Didn't they already come out with an Ultimate Ninja Storm 4?
Yeah, this is the Switch version. It's...
And it's called Road to Boruto. Jesus.
It's coming to Switch April 24th.
I gotta give it to those games. They look beautiful. They always look nice.
They've got a nice look to them. The Coral version of Nintendo Switch Lite is coming to Europe on April 24th, in case you want to pick up a Switch Lite in the EU.
Oh, wow.
Predator Hunting Grounds is coming to PS4 on April 24th.
Wasn't this free?
No.
Isn't this a free-to-play title?
I don't believe so.
Fuck. All right.
Trials of Mana is coming to PC, PS4, and Switch on April 24th. Azure Striker Gunvolt Striker Pack comes to PS4 on April 28th.
Great game.
Gears Tactics comes to PC on April 28th. I already have that one preloaded.
I'm looking forward to that, actually.
Me too. And Moving Out comes to PC, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch on April 28th.
Ah, yes, the Billy Joel edition.
Oh, there's more, I'm sorry. PUBG Season 7 starts on April 28th on PS4 and Xbox One. Remnant from the Ashes Swamps of Corsus DLC comes to PC on April 28th, and Sakura Wars comes to PS4 on April 28th.
Fuck, man. Gears Tactics is a $60 game? Damn.
Yeah. I probably didn't even... It's gonna be hot. I thought it was $40 for some reason, and I already paid for it.
It's gonna be hot.
Yeah, I'm Gears and Tactics are gonna mesh well, as in my brain, they already do.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a cover shooter.
It's going to make me want to go to XCOM. I just know it.
That's also what I...
Oh, it's included with the Game Pass.
Why the fuck... I'm going to refund it.
Wait, what are you doing here? 2 seconds here. It took me 2 seconds.
I always forget to fucking do that shit. I got to refund it on Steam.
Oh, hell yeah. No, you know what? I hope they reject it. I hope they say got them.
No, they never do.
I know. I hope they say, you know what? No.
Why would you want that from me?
Because I want something.
I just want to feel something. Even,
that's pretty cool.
Even part
Thank
of my
putting on my radar.
Yeah, yeah. Even part of my brain's like, I don't want to use the Windows Store.
No, I gotta be honest. It's a rough one. I'm gonna go ahead and pre-install that right now.
Do it up.
Thank you.
All right. Moving into the news drop. You got here Animal Crossing ban in China.
Yeah. So did you hear about this?
Briefly, but I didn't really get into the nitty gritty of it. I think the reasoning why seemed obvious to me, because with the creation tools, it seems like it's really easy to do protesty stuff in a game like that.
Yeah, so Animal Crossing was pretty, as it was around the world, it was also really popular in China. And before it got banned within like the past week and a half, it was basically advertised all over the place on social media networks from the Chinese networks and markets. And all of a sudden, it just randomly went off the market. Which was really fucking weird. So Taobao, which is, I'm sure I'm pronouncing that incorrectly, my apologies. It's like the store. That's like the online store. It's like the Amazon.com for China. And it's just gone. Nobody can find it. And also, there's no more mention of it on any social media outlet. And people immediately believed it had to do with the Hong Kong protests and how people were advertising that through their art and game, because you can upload art.
Yeah.
But apparently it wasn't even that. It was even before that even happened. People were uploading photos of the political figures that they had in China.
Were they doing the Winnie the Pooh thing?
Yeah, totally. There was that. There was just more mocking gestures made that were screenshot and then uploaded, especially in videos. Entire islands were dedicated to just mocking. So they just said, fuck this. Fuck your game. We out. And they just pulled it. And I thought that was crazy.
Unsurprising.
It's so wagging, but like,
it's not like this hasn't happened
every
before.
Time I hear about things like that, it's like, even Animal Crossing, it's like, fuck it.
This is probably most high profile game it's happened to.
Oh, for
but
sure.
But it's happened before.
Oh, for sure. For less. They pulled for less. But yeah, I just thought that was so, it was humorous, but it was also, what the fuck? It's like even Animal Crossing.
It's still,
can't even
the Winnie
survive.
The Pooh thing, is it the president? That like has that thing where people say he looks like Winnie the Pooh.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you literally cannot say that. It's totally.
Yeah. No.
Like,
Winnie the Pooh is
that,
banned in China, banned. Which is hilarious.
I mean, that's why with Blizzard at the time, with the Hong Kong protests, everybody was dressing up as Winnie the Pooh at BlizzCon to the point, or at least saying that they would, to the point where they said that if they identified anybody who was doing so during BlizzCon, they would remove them from the show.
Which is crazy.
Which to me. is fucking absurd.
Yeah, no, it's wrong. It's wrong.
It's fucking absurd. But you know, they're their biggest, when your funders are, or your investors are the biggest backers of your company, I mean, I can understand.
When you hear your family.
What? Oh yeah, when you hear your family, Olive Garden, Vin Diesel.
Today's episode of the Get Go the Game podcast is brought to you by Olive Garden. Olive Garden. Do you want weird breadsticks and soggy pasta? Eat at Olive Garden.
Listen, I know people are going to talk shit. I like their Italian dressing. I'm sorry. You fucking fire. Shoot me.
You're allowed.
I like it. And genuinely, I go for the unlimited salad. I haven't been to Olive Garden in years.
I was going
to
say,
but if I ever were to go, you can't really fuck up a salad.
Or a soup.
You really can't. Like, the soup, I get it. They heat it. They heat the food. I get all
that
bullshit.
Back. You could fuck up a soup, but I don't think they
have. You could fuck up a soup, but I'm just saying, like, a salad. I don't know. Can you? Like, unless it's chock full of preservatives or some bullshit that's not good for you.
I guess.
I don't. You know what? I don't even want to know.
It doesn't matter.
I don't even want
to
know.
I haven't been to it.
Sponsored by Olive Garden.
Yeah, Olive Garden. When you hear your family.
Comic-Con was canceled. San Diego Comic-Con canceled. New York Comic-Con is in October. I bet you that will be canceled too, even though they said we're probably not going
to
cancel.
I will be shocked if it isn't. Here's the thing. And I think I mentioned this to you earlier, like privately, when you brought this up in one of our group meets or something. They are just waiting until the last possible minute because they want the city to cancel it, so they don't have to.
Oh, for sure.
They don't have to pay anything.
I'm actually so curious. I mean, San Diego, this is the first time they canceled this in, I think it was something wacky like 50 years.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true. It was like 40 or 50 years. Because San Diego started off as a little nothing con, and then it grew into what it is.
You know, it's crazy to think about, like, as far as the way this is going, like, we went to PAX East this year, and it'll be weird to think about, like, oh yeah, PAX East was, like, the only con that happened in 2020.
Yeah, that was probably the last con that I was so glad that I went, because, I don't know, yeah, it could for until next year. That is pretty much until next year the last thing that you'll go to.
Yeah,
probably. Just an event.
Yeah, the last event of that scale.
Yeah, like event, not even like a concert or something, like an event. So I was feeling pretty fortunate that we went, but also it felt like a dingus because I was like, gee, this really could have gotten out of hand.
Yeah,
fast.
maybe we were underplaying.
Yeah, maybe I'm not that grateful. Maybe I'm just being a bigger jackass about it. I really could have gotten out of hand fast.
I was like, look at all these.
Yeah, New York's totally gonna be canceled for sure.
I would not fucking set foot in the Javits Center right now.
No, I can't even imagine anybody on a celebrity list or any creators I would want to go anyway. But I'm actually genuinely curious to see how the cities will handle that, because a lot of their economic,
it's a big loss of revenue,
income was coming in from those shows, and when people would reserve hotels en masse, etc. And they're not gonna have that this year, so things are probably gonna get even more fucked. What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
Crisis coming out.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the real things. Crisis.
Isn't that weird? Crisis Remastered. What are we going to talk about now when we talk about a game looking pretty on a computer?
Can it run Crisis Remastered?
Can it run Crisis Remastered? Your Switch can. So it,
you just gotta,
it probably
it's come,
can.
There's Crisis on the Switch. On the Switch.
Yeah.
You know, after I saw that little teaser... First of all, I just want to set the stage. I don't give a fuck about Crysis.
Me either.
I'm just setting the stage.
It's fine.
I only know about Crysis because everybody says, can it run Crysis? And I know it looks good. My brother likes Crysis a lot. I'm not into it. But I did see the teaser. When I saw the Nintendo Switch on the bottom, I went, oh, shit. Because Nintendo Switch, really, it's coming in. Everybody wants it now. Everybody wants it on this.
Feel free to attack this for me, but this has always been my perspective because I've never played Crysis.
Sure.
Crysis, in its character design, looks like a fake video game made for a sitcom.
I know exactly what you're talking about, too, because a scene... Was it from Breaking Bad? There's a scene from some show I was watching where, or even from Grandma's Boy when they're playing Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
Whenever people are just mashing buttons and they see an avatar or a player, yeah, I always imagine it's the Crysis guy.
Yeah.
It's always somebody like that.
It's a very generic sci-fi design.
I actually used to think the same of Crackdown when it first came out. I said, this looks like a game.
That's a fair criticism of Crackdown.
Yeah, I was like, this looks like a game that would be in a sitcom or a drama, and nobody would blink twice.
Yeah, 100%.
They'd say, like, I have to get the crystal and fight the final boss, and they'd just be holding, like, an N64 controller and just, like, tapping a button. Meanwhile, it's supposed to be an Xbox.
I looked into that at one point. It's a super interesting hole to dive down, but that could be a topic for a whole another episode. is like the circle of, there's a circle of like game developers who make like one level demos for sitcoms that need to show a video game.
You know what we should do next episode? I'm having inspiration strike. We should do what is, in your opinion, the best sitcom video game that had been shown on television, in your opinion? And we can choose from a sample size of, say, 10 to 20 of them. But we'll just try to make a debate as to which ones were the best ones.
Okay. I'm down for that. That was very weird. I don't know what just happened there.
You froze for a moment. I had a heart attack, and I was thinking, Eric, this everything is it. Froze. This is exactly what you've had nightmares before. You're going to have to carry this.
Audacity froze, and both my screens blacked out, but then everything came back.
Is it still recording?
Yeah, no, it's still recording.
Welcome to the cast!
That was really fucking weird.
I was literally just watching, because your face still hasn't come back to real time, so it's just you there.
Oh, okay.
And as I was talking, I realized midway, oh god, he's gone. I said, Eric, you're going to have to do this alone. The show must go on. The
show must go on.
No, but I genuinely, you know what, you're getting me thinking, because if there's like a list that we can come up with this week, and then actually just do the stupid scene, like, research on the 10-second scenes where these are shown.
Yeah.
Which one looked like the one you'd actually want to play?
I'm going to do that, and I think the first one I'm going to look into is the game that he's making in Grandma's Boy.
I think, is it Grandma's, which one is the Mortal Kombat one? I think it was 40-Year-Old Virgin where it's Seth Rogen.
Yeah, because that's the scene where one of them has an N64.
Fighting with the N60. Yeah. It's him with Paul Rudd.
Yeah, and one of them has a PS2 controller and one of them has an N64 controller. And it always bothers me because, like, actually, Dan Reichert has spoken at length on this. Be like, mistakes like that seem, like, egregious because, like, they hire, like, consultants for stuff like that. And it's like,
I wonder if sometimes they just do it on purpose.
It would have to be to a
but
point.
That'd be giving them too much credit half the time, I feel. Yeah, because they're just, if you were an actor, if you were either Paul Rudd or Seth Rogen, they just said, hey, listen, pick up this controller and just play this game and pretend like you're playing, I wouldn't give a shit either.
Yeah, that's true.
I would just say fuck it.
But I mean, in terms of like flubs like that and stuff, it's like, that's an easy mistake to avoid.
Oh, for sure. Well, that's why people are always so critical about those classic hacker scenes. Where they just go,
I'm in.
And there's just lines of code, and they go, I'm in.
There was
a
web page that I used to think was the funniest shit in the world forever, where it was like, it's the hacking page from Jurassic Park, and it's just, depending on what you hit, whether it be like enter a tab, you can just type a bunch of shit, and you hit the button, and it'll either be like access approved, or it'll do like the, nah-uh-uh, you didn't say the magic word.
Nah-uh-uh.
You know, if you want to look like you're hacking at a Starbucks.
Is some of my favorite... That's some of my favorite little tropes that you like to see. It's just people saying, enhance that, please, and they go,
enhance!
Meanwhile, you just, whenever I'm doing it, I just click and I just go, hello.
I'm just gonna crop just this. And yeah, it's really pixelated, but you can't quite make anything out.
Nope. But yeah, I'd totally be down to look at that. But Crysis, anyways, that's coming back, because Crysis is coming out!
Yeah.
And that's cool.
That's something.
Also coming out on the Switch is Jump Force.
Lol.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, game? I do remember that. They're adding...
You like that game?
They're adding characters Todoroki. Still.
Which is insane.
Yeah, people...
That's insane.
Yeah.
I played it... You want to know what's...
My friend Tom paid $60 for that, and I know he paid more than that. I laughed at him.
Did my brother pay that? No, he paid for J-Star Heroes.
He...
Which at least had story.
He bought whatever edition it was that comes with that statue.
Oh, the Goku one and well, One Piece
Goku,
one?
Luffy, and Naruto.
That's so funny. See, it's so... My heart cries for those games because just once you want... You know it's not going to happen, but you want a game that will get, you know, awards across the board for just being so fucking good for those types of games, and you'll just never get them. They're always just going to be... Because that's not the way that the games were made in the first place. They were made to be as fan service as possible.
They're going to get the money no matter what.
Yep, it's just quick and easy. I will say, though, Jump Force did have good graphics. They do have cool graphics.
It looks...
You can play as Seto Kaiba, just calling that out.
Which is, that's pretty cool.
Can summon monsters, just saying, throwing a little piece of candy their way, because...
Well, isn't it, like, the whole thing, like, cool. His attacks are based around his monsters?
Yeah, you have the dual disc, so does
like,
you.
Like, one of them is, like, a blue eyes comes up, and...
Yep.
Cool.
I have to say, gotta give him props. But, fuck it, it's not coming on Switch. Fuck it. It's over. Nothing makes sense anymore. Talking topic, though. Unless you have news. Do you have any more news?
I guess that's As far as news goes, am I still not back for you? It said it was having a problem with my camera.
No, I don't see it, but it's okay. I mean, I see a still of you, so I'm just gonna pretend like you're just
okay.
Eternally making this expression.
It seems like it was a Skype being weird is why my computer.
You seem amused at whatever I'm telling you right now, so it makes me feel good. So I'm just gonna keep looking at it and feeling good.
Okay.
Thanks, Rich.
No problem.
Oh, Rich, come on! It wasn't that funny. Stop. I was thinking about this the other day too, because I've been tackling a bunch of games from my backlog.
It's a good time.
But of course, I got Final Fantasy, and now I'm like, I'm all Final Fantasy. But I even loaded up even as I was talking about last week, Ori and the Blind Forest, because I just on a whim, like I just said, oh shit,
yeah, go for it.
Let me start. But how do you decide what to play in your backlog? And this is one of the biggest first world problems I've ever experienced, where I'm just sitting down on my throne of lies and just go, oh, what game do I want to play? Like, oh, there's not enough time in the day. What video game out of the so many that I have, what do I want to play? How do you figure that out yourself?
I don't. Fuck. I'm really bad at it.
I knew I wasn't going to get an answer out of this. I knew it. I don't think I
do.
It
really
either.
Is like a hard thing to do. And you know what's actually funny is the way I have been trying to answer for myself recently is I'm like, well, I got my Twitch days. What if I just picked like three and then put up a Twitter poll and was like, what do you guys want to see me play?
Well, no, that's exactly what it's come to. That's actually one of the reasons why in the past I started streaming just for fun. Because if anything else, I didn't even care if I got viewers. I just cared that it committed me to playing a game.
Yeah, yeah.
And because that was such an otherwise, for no reason at all, I cannot stress how fucking menial this is. Because otherwise, it was like pulling teeth to figure out what I wanted to play and actually committing to playing it. And I love video games. So there was a question where I went for like a year or two where I just didn't play them as often because I was thinking, I'm kind of getting out of this. But now I got the bug again. And every time I look at a game that I want to beat, I have no standard for knowing what I want to play next or what I'm going
to
do.
It's hard to do.
And the list is always in bunches. So I knew you'd say you don't know because, frankly, I think everybody I've ever asked this, myself included, says, well, I don't know. People will always say, I play what I want to play. But what does that mean? It's like, what do you want to play? It's like it's a fucking philosophical question more than anything else. What do you want to play at that moment in time?
It's tough. It's a tough.
It's like, how do you get to that decision?
It's a tough thing. Like, right now I know I want to play Persona.
Yeah.
But that,
like, I know I want to play Persona.
That answer is not always easy.
No, it's not. Damn, Rich, you know what? It's not easy. Because I was thinking, after I beat The Last of Us, I was telling myself, I'm going to jump into the PlayStation catalog. Let's go right now. Let's
do
go.
It.
Well, of course. But then Animal Crossing came out, so I played some of that. I even play Ultimate Alliance 3 every now and again when I can just to play because it's fun. But then I played Ori, and then I played Persona, and then I played Final Fantasy VII. And all of a sudden now I have this whole wide array of games that I had tried and I'm progressively going through. But I was even thinking, after all this is done, you want to know what one game is that I just never have fucking gone back to yet, but I always make sure I want to? CrossCode, which is an indie title on Steam.
Yeah, you were talking about that a lot at the time.
Yeah. And I remember I talked about it to death. And if you've never even heard of this again, this is on Steam. It has overwhelmingly positive reviews and ratings. It's a fucking great game that is long. Not too, I would say about 50 hours, I would even say. But it's fun as fuck. And it's a game that I can't even bother to load. I loaded up Ori and the Blind Forest, not saying that comparably it's worse. But it's just a different game.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck possessed me to do this now?
Who knows? Ori's good, though. Ori's a good one to go with.
Oh, for sure. No matter what, at the end of the day, it's going to be, you want to play games. Every once in a while, I'll just load up Castlevania 1, just because I have no rhyme or reason for any of that bullshit. I just do.
It's a good game. That's the reason. That's the rhyme.
Thank you. Hey, thanks.
Yeah, no
problem.
That
made me feel good. Hey, buddy, you want to know why you're playing it? Because it's good.
Yeah, no, that's like I said, interestingly enough, doing like that whole Twitter poll thing and being like, well, what do people want to see me play? And instead of continuing with my backlog, you know what I think's probably going to happen come this Thursday? I think I'm going to replay Final Fantasy VI.
Damn, that's so good. I'm going to watch that. You want to know something, too? When you showed me the Final Fantasy VI playing cards, I also thought, after I think I'm done with this remake, I'm just going to play VI. I shit you not. I have the card.
Yeah, I have the
SNES card.
I have actually the version I'm using. I think I've shown you before that I got this via Etsy. I have the GBA version, but with the original music restored.
Oh, that's such a good. You always have a good find. That's a good find.
So
Etsy, sometimes you can buy a quilt, other times you can buy a ROM cart.
Yeah, no, exactly. I'm going to use that with my Retron. The funny part is this got me looking and being like, that's the most convenient way for me. But I forgot that they ported it to Steam with that horrible interface and those ugly sprites.
Yep, the mobile interface. It's so gross. And they cleaned up the sprite. It's the one question I feel that people have always asked in the reviews. They just say, why? Like, why did you bother to clean up something that didn't need to be cleaned? They're sprites.
My favorite bits is one of the top reviews on there is a not recommended. And it simply reads, one of the greatest games ever made and one of the worst versions of it imaginable. If you feel like supporting the devs, buy this and download the emulator guilt-free.
Yeah, for sure. It's just, I never get why games in their mobile versions try to clean up the sprites to make them look prettier or nicer, when it just literally takes this hot steaming shit all over.
Yeah, no, it, wow. Like, I look at those soldiers in, like, the Magitek armor all cleaned up, and I'm like, gross.
It looks like a Flash game.
It's weird. It looks horrible.
Well, I was gonna play Donkey Kong Country and just 100-something% that again.
Oh, I'd watch that.
I know. I have to get my Elgato back. Because in the month of March, I was thinking, I'm gonna stream. And it sounded really fun. But of course, it never happened.
Your Elgato's,
of course, now that we're almost done with April, it's with my brother.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
So I'm just fucked.
Well, here we are.
We'll get there.
You got nothing but time now.
I know, for real. I literally, after this, I was telling you, I'm going to go play Final Fantasy. But do you have anything you want to talk about?
No, I mean, I think that pretty much sums it up for me. I think we hit all the big ones.
Well, that's just great. And listen, everybody, remember, this stream is sponsored by the one and only Olive Garden. And when you are listening to us, you are listening to family.
Mr. Clean.
Is that illegal?
No, it's not an official branding. We're also not officially brought to you by Mr. Clean. Mr. Clean, do you think bald albinos are the best at cleaning? Since 1865.
Well, you never saw Mr. Clean. You never saw Mr. Clean clean. This is not sponsored by Chiquita Banana.
Not officially. But we're going to keep talking about it until they offer us one. Chiquita Banana.
If you had to have one sponsor for anything, what would you want to be sponsored by?
Quiznos. It does not exist anymore.
Get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck out. We're done.
I honestly don't know.
There's something in my brain. I gotta be honest with you. I don't know if this is just a deep-rooted...
Sure.
Hey, I literally just said, how dare he?
The Quiznos thing?
How dare you? You want to know what... Oh, because it brought up the memory of that commercial with the hand... puppets with the googly eyes.
I always just think of
it,
the
goes,
one
Quiznos chefs.
With the weird, it was a Quiznos is weird.
Well, Rich, thank you for taking me down that.
Yeah, no that problem. Let's move it right into housekeeping.
Fuck Quiznos.
Thanks to Heather Ramos for our wonderful artwork, and thanks to Ed Biquette for our intro. Ask us questions, GeckoGamesPodcast@gmail.com, and if you are Olive Garden, hit us up. We're around.
Yeah, just saying, where do you get your salad?
Where do you get your salad? That's the...
Just curious. Asking for a friend.
Age-old question. Find us on Twitter. You can contact Eric at beautiful_Eric, and you can reach me at TheRichMeister0. What a lovely time we had today.
It's always been a pleasure. It's always been a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. We'll see y'all next week.